really have time to do this. Maybe we'll see how the service goes. Maybe I can go to the end of the service. Right into fellowship.
Of announcements today. There's a lot to do, so I'm just going to say, look in your bulletin. If you're unaware, today we're having a fellowship dinner right after church, so if you need to call and order a pizza right now, that's fine. But there will be lots of food back there and fellowship with the Nanonanese, catching up with them and sending them off with a blessing, and it's just a good time to be together. So that's it for announcements. Check your bulletin unless there's something pressing. Anybody need another announcement at all?
Do you ask them to turn the fans on?
Oh, it's getting hot, I guess, because there's lots of people. Jim Zarpentine, can you turn on the fans just a little bit?
I can.
And if you're cold, just snuggle with somebody.
Okay, let's turn your hymnbooks to 656. Sing 1, 3, and 4 of the song Send the Light. 1, 3, and 4.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves, and the light,
send the light,
send the light,
send the light.
There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore, send the light. Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for God above. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light.
Do you have a scripture reading you want to read this morning, or you want read?
Yeah.
Or preparation on my part. Do you want me to read?
No, he can start.
Yeah. Open your Bible in 2 Samuel. Chapter 7, 2 Samuel, chapter 7. 2 Samuel, chapter 7, beginning from verse 18. Second Samuel 7:18. Let's read the Bible. Then David the king went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who I am, O Lord God, And what is my house that you have brought me this far? And yet this was insignificant in your eyes, O Lord God. For you have spoken also of the house of your servant concerning the distant future. And this is the custom of man, O Lord God. Again, what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God. For the sake of your word, according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness to let your servant know. For this reason, you are great, O Lord God. For there is none like you, and there is no God besides you. According to all that we have heard with our ears, and what one nation on the earth is like your people Israel, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people and to make a name for himself, and to do a great thing for you and awesome things for your land, before your people whom you have redeemed for yourself from Egypt, from nations and their gods. For you have established for yourself your people Israel as your own people forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God. Now, therefore, O Lord God, the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and his house, confirm it forever and do as you have spoken, that your name may be magnified forever by saying, the Lord of the hosts is God over Israel. And may the house of your servant David be established before you, for you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made a revelation to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore, your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. Now, O Lord God, you are God, and your word are truth, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. Now, therefore, may it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing, may the house of your servant be blessed forever. Amen.
Turn your hymnals to 663. Make me a blessing. 663.
Out of the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is ripe, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. Oh, Savior, story of Christ and his love, tell of his power to forgive. Others will trust him if only you prove to every moment you live. Make me a blessing. Jesus shine. should be true. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. Oh, Savior.
Prayer requests or praises at this time before we have word of prayer? Any prayer requests or praises?
Please pray for my daughter-in-law's stepfather, who she dearly loves, Pat Bannon. Today the family is gathering around him in the hospital in Pittsburgh. They are going to remove the ventilator, and they figure he will pass today.
Okay. Others?
I'm just thankful for the missions reports and the missionaries all around the world, especially, and it's very encouraging and always inspiring to see what people are doing, Christians are doing around the world with little to no funds and with a great love for Jesus and the people around them. And it's always convicting and inspiring. And I just praise God for this church's ability to give far beyond what we think sometimes. It's always surprising to see the missions report and how much more we had than we thought we did. And how much we already give is a great testimony to the work of Christ and the people here, for sure.
Anybody else? Okay, we're thankful to have the Nenonines here today, and you'll get to hear him preach this morning. We also have a special number right after our prayer, so that'll be really cool. So let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, you're an amazing God. We're so grateful for your love for us. We often, as we think of that love, can't believe what you've done in order to bring us into your family, paying the price for our sin and then rising again that we might have life. We're so grateful for that and grateful to be part of your family. Thankful for your presence in our life and the fact that no matter what the circumstances we go through, we know you are present and accounted for. May not go the way we want it to go or even the way we pray that it would go, but we know that you are faithful and that you do what is right, and we pray that you'll help us through those things. Even as we pray this morning, we think of the Nenonines going back to the field out to Togo finally to spend a long time there to serve. They've been serving right along, and much has happened there. But Lord, you are faithful no matter what's happening, no matter what the country's going through, no matter what is happening, no matter what you are being asked for, you're faithful in the work of sending your gospel to the nations and the people around the world. We're thankful that there are people who are willing to do that. And we are thankful for the many missionaries who are willing to do that and grateful for their love for you and the blessing that brings around the world as many come to know you. Often, even as was shared this morning, even when we're not present, the work that goes on, we're grateful for your love and the way you work. Lord, I think of this Pat Bannon, and I know how difficult it is to watch a loved one pass away, and Lord, I pray that you'll just help in this morning as they take the ventilator off, that you'll care for the family, give grace and strength. Lord, I don't know who knows the Lord there or anything else, but I pray that you'll truly be working in their lives to
to reveal yourself to them and to give strength to them. Lord, I thank you for that love and for that strength. Lord, this morning we're just grateful to be here as a family, to be able to praise you and to worship you. Lord, to have a building that we can spend time in and even have a meal in afterwards. Lord, you have blessed us so much and so richly. We're grateful for the opportunities we have in working in people's lives and telling others about Christ and in even being able to support missionaries in many countries. Thank you for your grace and blessing to do that. We praise you this morning in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Athena and a bunch of people to do sign language. Athena's going to do a special number this morning.
Can you see her?
Get up and praise the Lord. except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, huh? You know, you just saw. How old is she now?
She's six.
6 year old Athena come up and do a special number. All of you who think you don't have what it takes, come on, I think you can find it in you to do some special numbers here, or some readings, or quote some verses. Any of those things are possible. Let's all stand and sing worship songs. We're going to start with Love the Lord Your God.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your
indescribable. A little bit of energy in these songs today.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea. Revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring. Every creature you name in the song that it sings. All explaining, indescribable, uncontainable. You bless the stars in the sky. Amazing God, all indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky, and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. Incomparable, unchangeable. You see the depths of my heart, and you love me the same.
Dismissed to junior church. This morning, we have the joy of having Ellie and Sonia Nononi here this morning. And they're going to share, he's going to share more, especially from the scriptures, but I'm sure there'll be a few examples of what's going on in Togo mixed in there. We're grateful to have them. We're kind of like their send-off. So we get to enjoy a meal with them and fellowship with them. So come on up and preach.
Good morning once again. I'm happy to be with you this morning and happy to see new faces. And I thank God for that. The title of my message is Having a Gratitude Heart. Having a Gratitude Heart. We read in the book of Samuel. 1 and 2 Samuel were considered one book in the Hebrew manuscript. The author of the book is unknown. Same of the date of the redaction. But the events described on this book happen when Israel go through spiritual decadence. The clergy is highly corrupted in Israel. The Ark of the Covenant is under the tent. Israel is facing adultery. Not only adultery, but he's surrounded by enemies. At that time, God will choose two persons to change the situation. God will choose Samuel and David. He anointed David. And after God anointed David, God established a covenant with him, with David. And in response to the covenant God had with him, David will show a gratitude heart to God. So this morning, I want to use the David stories to talk about the heart of gratitude. After choosing David, after anointing him, God gave him a peace. Even he is around, is surrounded by the enemies, God gave him a peace. And that time, David decided to build a house to God. David said to himself, I can't live in a cedar house. I can't live in a nice house like this and see the ark of God under the tent. I want to build a house to God. We see here that David wants to give to God the best. The heart of gratitude gives to God the best. David said, I can't live in this situation. I can't live in this nice house. I can't have all I have when the Ark of the Covenant is under the tent. So I'm going to build a house to the Ark of God. David wants to give the best. The heart of gratitude always gives the best to God. The heart of gratitude, which God wants to you and I to have, give the best to God. Best of his time to God. Best of his talent to God. Best of his possession to God. That is the heart of gratitude. But how that will happen? That will happen only if we have God at the first place in our heart. We can't give to God the best of our time, our talent, of what you possess, if we don't have God at the first place in our heart. In Mark chapter 12:44, Jesus Christ talked about two persons in the church who give. in offerings. One widow and one rich. Jesus said that the women, the widow who give few, give the best of what she has compared to the superflu who the rich give. In the book of the First Chronicles, chapter 21, in verse 45, David decided to build, God asked David to build the altar to him. And God chose the place David need to build the altar. God chose it and showed to God, David to go and build the altar. The place God chose is Ornan's property. When David go there, David say, I want to build an altar to God here on your property. And Ornan said to David, I will give you the property. I will give you the land. And I will give you the cows you need for the Holocaust. I will give you all those things. But David said, no, I will buy it. Because I don't want to give to God what doesn't cost for me. That's the attitude of somebody who has the heart of gratitude. When David decided to build a house to God, he shared the project with Nathan, the prophet. When he shared a project with Nathan, Nathan go before God. And God told Nathan to go and tell David, no, you don't build a house for me, but me, God, I will build a house for you. But we know that David is living in Cedar House. So the house God is talking about here is not a physical house. But God will give to David a royalty. God will give to David a descendant who will reign, who will sit on the throne, who will have a kingdom. And that is the covenant God had established with David. I will give you a descendant. The throne will be in your house. And the descendant I'll give you, who is Jesus Christ, will sit down on this throne. And that's the promises God made to David. And that promise is a covenant. And a covenant is an alliance God make with somebody. Or let's say is a contract between two parties based on promises to do something or to not do something. And that's the covenant God made with David. And the promises in this covenant to give to David a descendants a throne on which Jesus Christ will sit down are based on God's desire to do it. That's why David will call that covenant a decree. And the decree is something God decides to do before the foundation of the world. God by himself decides to do it, and he will do it. No matter the situation, the decrees of God will become true. And the promises God made to David are everlasting promises. So when David hear from Nathan what God want to do with him, with his house, what God want to do to Israel and beyond Israel, all the humanity, because the Savior will come from him. When David hear all those things, he go before God. And what David said to God when he goes before God? He said, God, who am I? Who am I? Me, David. Not only you bring me far from the bush when I was there like a homeless. Who I am? You bring me to Jerusalem. You give me this cedar house. And beyond that, you give me those promises. Who I am. David knows that he deserves nothing. He knows that the promises of God come from God himself. David knows that all those promises are by pure grace. David knows that his being and his deeds come from God, the Creator and the Sustainer. David, before God, he showed his smallness. David, before God, showed his dependence. That's what the heart of gratitude do. And the big surprise God made to David is not only he anointed him, it's not only God decided to have a covenant with David, but God revealed it to him. David knows the faithfulness of God. That's why he called the promises a decree. He knows that God has the absolute control and will do everything to bring his promises in reality. David said in verse 21, for the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done these great things. David said, according to your will, not according to David's will, but according to God's will, he will do all the promises he said to do. And we remark here that David put himself aside in the fulfillment of those promises, because David wants to give all the glory to God and to God only in the fulfillment of those promises. David said to Lord, what can I say? There is no one like you. A heart of gratitude drive to the glory. The heart of gratitude push a man who know the heart of God to give praise to God. Here David gives glory to God. Jeremiah 10 verse 6 says, no one like you, no one is like you, Lord, you are great. And your name is mighty in power. We can read the same idea in Isaiah 46, verse 5. With whom will you compare me or count me equal? To whom will you liken me that we may be compared? The heart of gratitude give praise to God. The God of gratitude glorify God. And not only God, any God, but the creator of the earth and heaven. The one we can't compare to nobody. I hear last time one song from my country, and the song said that my God, I can't compare my God to your God. You know, in a way, it's not the right way to say it. But in a way, we say, I can't compare your God to my God. Not my God to your God, but your God to my God. Because your God is inferior to my God. So we compare what is inferior to what is superior in a way. That's our mentality. When I hear the sound, I say, no, something is wrong with that sound. The God of the promises, the God of the covenant, the God who made a promise, everlasting promise, we can't compare to another God. David sees the greatness of God not only in his life, but in the history of Israel. That's why he brings us to the history to show the consistency of God's greatness. He said that, God, we hear about you. We hear what you did in Egypt. We know, we hear, and we know, we believe how you fight and you defeat God's, Israel, Egypt's gods. That's the God David is talking about here. The consistency of the greatness of God. God showed it in Egypt. Not in Egypt, but from Egypt to Canaan. God showed it when he defeated nations, God, one after one. Is that God David is talking here about? Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness? Arisen in glory, working wonders. Exodus 15, verse 11. A heart of gratitude is a heart that gives praise and glory to Yahweh, the true God. After that, David said a prayer to God. He prayed to God to see the fulfillment of the covenant promise made to him and Israel. In the last three verses, David tells God the reason of his prayer. He said to God, it's not, I pray, I have the courage to pray you, God. I have the courage to come before you. Because not only you make the promise, I know that those promises will be fulfilled. But you reveal it for me. Even when I die, I know what will happen to my house. And that the fact that you reveal to me gives me a courage to come to you and to pray. And I want to pray for the fulfillment of those promises. And here, the way David expressed this idea is like the promises are already done. The promises are already done because those promises come from God. Before David presented himself to God, he has many, many reasons. He has many arguments to be proud because at that time David was already anointed. And we know that David, he has a cedar house. At that time, the cedar, you need to travel more than 100 40 kilometers to bring the cedar from Lebanon to build a house in Jerusalem. So he has something to be proud. David defeated Goliath. It's something he can be proud with. David is a warrior. David is a popular guy. David is a musician. So before he presented himself to God, he has many, many reasons to be proud. But before God, David 10 times in this passage, he said, he called himself servant. He called himself a servant, slave, before God. David has everything which can make his eye big before God. But before God, he sees like himself like slave. Nothing. That is the attitude of the great man who have a big heart of gratitude. We see the same example, very close, you and I, in the life of Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul said that in his generation, he knows the law more than everybody. In his generation, nobody can equal him. Apostle Paul is a writer. He has a talent to write. He is an evangelist. He is a disciple maker. He is a church planter. He is a Roman citizen. So he has everything. He has many arguments to be proud before God. But David, when he knows when even he knows that he is the great apostle, he did many, many things more than others. He said, at least it's by grace. He knows that everything is pure and pure grace. My question for you this morning is simple. Where are you with your heart of gratitude? Our story is not different from David's story. Your story is not different from David's story. My story is not different from David's story. We can make a parallel and we'll see why I said that. You and I were very far from God because of the sin. Very far. Like David was very far in a bush. And God is the one who go bring him. And you and I, God is the one who come to you, who come to us, who bring us to himself. When God bring David far from the bush, he anointed him and make him a king. God bring you and I far to himself. And God anoint you and me. We become a child of God. God revealed a future to David. You and I, when God brings us to himself, he revealed to us our future. And don't forget that what God said about your future is a decree. And we said that a decree will never fail. So God show you your future. God said one day you'll be where I am. And it's a decree. And a decree, nothing can come fell a decree. Even you yourself, you can't. God revealed to you and I that one day we'll be with Jesus Christ. That one day Jesus Christ will come and we will be with him. Because he takes us far to himself. Because he gives us his spirit. And where Jesus will be, you and I will be there. And that's our future. That's our hope. And God revealed it to you and I, like God revealed to David the future. So we have many, many reasons to be grateful. We have many, many reasons to have that heart of gratitude before God. And the parallel I want to do with what God is doing with David and what God is doing for you and I. David said that I can't live in my house. I can't be free in my heart. I can't rest in my heart when the Ark of Covenant of God is under the tent. You and I, we say that we can't live, we can't be free when we see our brothers and sisters under the tree worship God. To worship God under the tree has nothing wrong. But if we go to the village like we did, or we continue to do, and you gather people under the tree to worship God, it's good, but if it's rain, there's a problem. So you and I, we say that no, we can't see them. We'll bring them and build a temporary, even if it's a temporary, we'll bring a temporary church for them so they can gather themselves there. Like David doesn't want to see the Ark of God under the tent. No. That doesn't honor his God. We went to many villages and they tell us that, you know, we need to live under the tree because people are joking. People are joking. So you and I, we do the same. We bring them and we build a church for them so they can gather themselves there securely and worship God. So you and I, we have the same history with them. And that is a great opportunity God gives to you and I to do. And we are doing it. And all those people say thank to God. They show the heart of gratitude to God because of what you and I, we are doing. So God wants you to give him the best. But the best of the best you can give to God is your life. The best of the best you can give to God is your life. So if you are here this morning and you never give your life to Jesus Christ, I want to remember you that the best, beyond the material you can give to God, beyond the money you can give to God, the precious, the best of the best you can give to God is your life. So if you are among us here this morning, I don't know your history. If you are here and you never give your life to Jesus Christ, the future we are talking about doesn't concern you. That's your day. Because tomorrow can be too late. God wants us to have the heart of gratitude. and the heart of gratitude, we can have it before God. But the good thing for you and I, the good news is we can show the gratitude through our actions. And it's what we are doing when we go to the villages. And it's what we are doing if we meet people and we know that they are in need, we show our heart of gratitude to them. David said he will build a house to God. God said, no, I will do it for you. May God help us to have the heart of gratitude. Heart of gratitude in everything, in every situation. And that heart of gratitude push you and I to give the best of our time to God. Best of our possession to God. The best of our talent to God. And beyond all those things, to give the best of the best, which is our life, to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this moment. We can share your word. Father, thank you because you are the one who loves us. And you give us the best of you, who is Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ came on the earth, he gave us the best, which is his own life. Father, thank you to help us. Thank you to continue to explain those words for us. And thank you to give us the capacity to be grateful before you. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Turn your hymn books to 668. As we have received so much from God, we want to tell others about it and live in a way that tells others. 668, sing A Passion for Souls. Give me a passion for souls, dear Lord, a passion to save the lost. Oh, that thy love were by all adored and welcomed at any cost. Jesus, I long to be winning men who are lost and constantly sinning. Oh, may this hour be one of beginning the story of pardon to tell. Though there are dangers untold and stern confronting me in the way, willingly still would I go nor turn, but trust thee for grace every day. Jesus, I long to be winning men who are lost and constantly sinning. Oh, may this hour be one of beginning the story of pardon to tell. How shall this passion for souls be mine? Lord, make thou the answer clear. Help me to throw out the old lifeline to those who are struggling near. Jesus, I long to be winning men who are lost and constantly sinning. Oh, may this hour be one of me.
Communion, we don't think about how grateful we are for what he's done, for what he looked to do as we knew he would be sacrificed for our sin, as he would carry our sin to the cross, as he would shed our blood, his blood for our sin, and rise again to guarantee us eternal life. Guarantee that it all was real. We don't often think, as we do communion, of how grateful we are. Many of the things this morning ran together. The song, gratitude. Then he spoke on gratitude to the Lord. And we need to be thankful as we go through this experience this morning to worship the Lord by partaking in communion. In Matthew 26, it says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. This morning, as we do this with gratefulness for what God has done for you. Let's pray. Gracious Father, as we partake of the cracker that we'll take, and as we share in that way, as you did with your disciples, the bread, we know that, Lord, it was a symbol of your body being broken for us. Sometimes, Lord, we don't like to think about those kind of things, but it's important for us to realize what you did for us. The enormous price that was paid, as you carried all of our sins. So this morning, Lord, we're thankful that you bring us to this time when we can remember what you've done for us. And we pray that you'll help us to praise you for this. And that we might have a heart of gratitude to serve you. And we pray that in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. disciples, he said, "Take ye, this is my body." And draw them. Father, we're grateful for your sacrifice. Most of all, appreciative of the blood that was shed that washes us cleansed from our sin. To know that our sin is not before you, that we can freely come before your presence because you have made us able to do that. Thank you for that, and thank you for this time to remember what you've done for us. Help us as we drink this juice that we would remember the blood that was shed for us. In your Son's precious name, amen. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink ye all of it." And the scripture says, "I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So we're not going to go to the Mount of Olives. We're going to go out back and eat. But we're going to stand and sing a hymn, song of gratitude. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making
Thank you.